나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사디고
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on October 30th, 1986 at New Taliban Farm in Carrier, Mississippi.The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 9, Text 42.
O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you?Who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service. You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your mercy, in your service.Translation with repetition. O my Lord.
O my Lord,
O Supreme Personality of Godhead,
O Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Original Spiritual Master,
Original Spiritual Master,
of the entire world,
of the entire world,
what is the difficulty for you?
What is the difficulty for you?
Who manage the affairs of the universe?
Who manage the affairs of the universe?
In delivering, the fallen souls,Engaged in your devotional service. You are the friend of all suffering humanity.
You are the friend of all suffering humanity.
And for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish.
It is necessary to show mercy to the foolish.
Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy. To persons like us.
Who engage in your service.
Thus end the Bhakti, the translation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the words Priya Janan Anusevatang Na indicate that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very favorable to devotees who act according to the instructions of His own pure devotee. In other words, one must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If one wants to become the servant of the Lord directly, this is not as fruitful as engaging in the service of the Lord's servant. This is the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who shows us the way to become Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa.One should not be proud of becoming directly the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, one must seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, and engage oneself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes the servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. This is also the injunction of Bhagavad Gita.Evang parampara praptam imang rajar shayo vidu. One can understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the parampara system. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Tale charana sevi bhakto sanivas. Let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord and let me live with the devotees.Janame janame hoya e abhilash. Following Narottam Das Thakur, one should aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servant, life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumito Thakur, Tumar Kukur, Boliya Janoho More. O my Lord, O Vaishnava, please consider me your dog.One must become the dog of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. For a pure devotee can deliver Krishna without difficulty. Krishna se tumar, Krishna dite paro. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee, and if we take shelter of a pure devotee, he can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee, and therefore he prays to Krishna, "My dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee." That's in the Bhaktivedanta purport, text 42. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. That's in the Bhaktivedanta Swami purport. Translation. This is text 42, chapter 9, canto 7 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. These prayers by Prahlad Maharaj are very important. And these purports, Prabhupada has written very elucid, very expansive purports, because Prahlad Maharaj is one of the great Gostiyanandi preachers in our sampradaya. In our culture, we're to follow the Mahajanas, Mahajanagatasapunta. And Prahlad Maharaj is one of the Mahajanas that we are to follow. Actually, although he's only a child of 5 years old, children of 5 years old, especially Prahlad being a liberated soul, of course, it's no comparison, but at that time, are much more than the human beings fully matured up to today, in the sense of, and of course, Prahlad being a liberated soul, he's directly speaking from the heart, inspired by Krishna himself. Lord Narsingadev touched his head with a conch shell, and so he's directly speaking in a very inspired way. So the Lord teaches his devotees through his devotees. So the Krishna is in the heart is Chaitya Guru, and he guides the devotees from within, and from without he is a spiritual master, and he guides the devotees from externally as the Diksha and Shiksha Guru. It's very important to understand this concept of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. In India, the Sahajiyas who take everything very cheap, they always say, "Yes, I'm Krishna Dasan, Udasan, Udas." But actually, they do their own, they don't follow the disciplic succession. They act according to their own whims, according to their own, what's the thing in the word? Prohisya.
Um,
precocious? Forgive the word precocious. When asked out of false ego to do not what the previous acharyas want, not what the what Krishna wants, but what they want to do. In our disciplic succession, even Advaita Goswami had six children, six sons. And three of them were very sincere, followed him very strictly, headed by Achyutananda. Another three, they deviated from Advaita Goswami. They, after Advaita Goswami left, they wanted to be spiritual masters without following the disciplic succession. So in this way, they were considered to be asara, or this material world, the way to even one karma. Master, then how can he take on so many people's karma? The Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate his commentary. He explained a particular thing, and if we're not, if we're just going to say it a little bit different or something, we don't generally, we just tell, we preserve. Understanding according to time, place, and circumstance with the proper respect, that's one thing, but he was kind of just changing the original or even criticizing without the original commentation of Sridhar Swami. So as a result, Lord Chaitanya chastised him indirectly to teach him that we should be faithful to our previous acharyas, they're our masters. Even if after subsequent study of the subject, I mean, in the social Lord Chaitanya, some of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, like Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, of course they had a very profound understanding, in many ways much broader than what Sridhar Swami had commentated upon. Following in the system of Lord Chaitanya, they respected the commentation of the previous acharya. And then those things which he did not discuss upon, they discussed. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj. He didn't bother to again repeat the same things that Vrindavan Das Thakur had mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because it would be disrespectful. Why duplicate the same work twice? Unless if it's right, if it's proper. So he just gave a synopsis. Just to keep the chronological order and understanding. But referred to the other work which gave the details of Lord Chaitanya's youthful pastimes. So this is our system. In general, in the disciplic succession. And of course, in ISKCON, where Prabhupada has established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a separate branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree. Lord Chaitanya explains that he is the gardener and he is the tree of the Sankirtan movement. And from the main trunk of Lord Chaitanya, various other bigger trunks like Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, they have come out. And then so many branches have come, and then so many branchlets and twigs and so on. So Prabhupada explained that we are one of the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree. And on this branch so many other twigs and leaves are there. But it's a branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree, founded for satisfying the desire of the previous acharyas. So Prabhupada is our founder acharya. So we are to be completely dedicated to preserving all the things that Srila Prabhupada gave us, and to expanding all of the desires and the instructions which he has given to us. We don't have the mandate to change things that he's given us. We should preserve what he's given. And then as the preaching expands and we come into other levels of preaching, then there may be some areas which have not been covered. We'll have to consider what to do. Like when the whole world's Krishna conscious, we have to consider how to have Krishna conscious governments and things and so on and so forth. That falls under Prabhupada's broad instruction to organize the world under Varnashram. But our principle is that we have to follow Srila Prabhupada. This is the attitude of servant of the servant of the servant. You know the story about the sage and the mouse. Prabhupada used to tell this story quite frequently because the tendency of the conditioned soul is to become puffed up and then consider himself independent. So it's a little funny little story how a mouse was being chased by a cat and came to the sage and said, "Save me." So he said, "All right, become a cat." So then the mouse couldn't get the cat. The mouse was changed to a cat, so he was saved from being eaten by the other cat. But later on, the cat was being chased by a dog, so he came to the sage again, and the sage blessed him and said, "I become a dog." So then the dog was being chased by a tiger. So then the sage changed him to a tiger. Then the tiger came up to the sage sometime later, and the sage was saying, "So now what do you want?" Then the tiger said, "Ah!" He's going to eat the sage. And then the sage said, "What? So you want to eat me? Punai Vasika Baba, back to a mouse." The tiger forgot how he became a tiger. Only because the sage blessed him. Otherwise he was nothing but a mouse. He became so big only by the blood, then he wants to eat up the sage. The sage has the power to make him a tiger, he has the power to put him back again to a mouse. This thing they forget. Where the power is coming from, where the mercy is coming from. If somebody is able to do any service, whether it's any aspect of devotional service, successfully, it's due to the mercy of Krishna and the previous acharyas. If later they become, someone becomes puffed up and they think that now I'm a great sage or something, I don't have to strictly follow the principle of previous acharya. And back to a mouse. Where do you think you got your so-called great wisdom from? Great power. Potency for serving Krishna is not a material thing. There's never a point when we are independent of the mercy of Krishna. In the spiritual world, everyone feels dependent upon Krishna. It's that independence that brings us to the material world. We think we're independent of Krishna. Therefore, we're working here and we're suffering and enjoying according to our karma. The process of devotional service means to completely be always dependent upon Krishna. I think or I feel or different opinions. Our opinions have no value in the absolute sense. They may relatively have some value, but in the absolute sense, we simply want to repeat whatever the previous acharyas have said, whatever the shastras say. Everything we say should be substantiated, should be backed up, empowered. Otherwise, it has no value. Opinions of an individual soul, a conditioned soul, have no absolute value. Only the words of the shastras, of the Vedas, and the previous acharyas and examples of great sages, like great Mahajanas, like Prahlad Maharaj. These are the actual Praman. This is a saying, Veda Praman. Whatever we do should be substantiated or should be backed up by the Vedas. Without that, we don't have a leg to stand on. There's no value to it at all. So, of course, there are some people who are so-called seekers of the truth. They want to find the truth, they want to find God, and then, but they're a bit proud. And so they don't want to surrender to a spiritual master. And then, what is the need of a spiritual master? What is the need? Oh, I can directly achieve God. So, because they're also pretentious people. They're pretentious people because of their offense that Krishna has certain devotees in the material world. There's so many devotees who are trying to serve him, who are helping his mission, spreading the glories of the holy name. But because these people neglect such devotees who are very dear to the Lord and they want to cross over them and go directly to the Lord for their offense, the Lord does not recognize these pretentious people. Listen, in fact, for their offense, Prabhupada explains, even they can fall down from whatever little advancement they have. So this is not like an optional concept, but in devotional service, the idea of Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalaya or Dasa Dasa Nudasa, of being a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord, is essential. Guru Meva Vigachet must have a must be serving a devotee of the Lord, must be serving through the disciplic succession of Guru Parampara. So it says one should seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, engage oneself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect. So then one may say, what does this mean, pure devotee? A pure devotee, of course Prabhupada said that all the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement are pure devotees. Basically their intention is to serve the Lord, to achieve love for Krishna. That's pure devotion. That is a pure devotion, pure devotee. But pure devotee may be on different levels of advancement or realizations, different levels of faith. Someone may have the idea, yes, I want to love Krishna, but they see that their guru is a devotee, they see the deities are in the temple, but they can't recognize the other devotees. They can't appreciate other Vaishnavas. They can't distinguish between Vaishnavas and Karmis and materialists, and they kind of merges a little bit there. These are Kanishtha Adhikaris. They only see the Lord in the temple, they can only recognize Guru, they can't recognize the other Vaishnavas. So these are Kanishtha Adhikaris. Even a Kanishtha Adhikari can be a Guru, Prabhupada says, if he serving his guru who is a pure devotee. In this way, if he brings the disciples to follow the previous acharyas and simply repeats their words, he can also be a spiritual master. Of course, his level of realization and ability to explain things may be a bit limited. But as long as he only repeats the words, the idea is probably to be a guru is not a big thing. He said it's being... like a postman, you have to deliver the message without changing it. You have to be able to understand the teachings of the previous acharya and to deliver them without adding your own opinions and changing it. You have to follow, you have to be able to train people to follow those teachings, and you have to practice them yourself. So you have to have heard, you have to be able to teach, you have to follow, and you have to be able to train. A person can do this and he's an acharya. says other things to his allegory. So unwavering. He knows that, well, I may not know this particular detail of the Shastra. Establish the proper understanding. They're fixed. Even though he doesn't have maybe such an expansive knowledge that sometimes he may not be able to answer all of the situations, but his faith doesn't get wavered. His determination isn't misplaced. Uttamarakari, devotee of the Lord, is one who has able to see Krishna's presence, His mercy everywhere, and who has a much broader understanding of the Krishna conscious philosophy, therefore is able to face all kinds of questions and provide answers, who is very fixed in Krishna conscious determination. This is a basic. Whether one is a madhyama, kanishta madhyama, or uttam, the idea that one is always a servant of the servant, that doesn't change. In our Krishna conscious movement, the devotees on different levels. There's never a point when a devotee stops being a servant. Even if one is a guru, his qualification is he's a disciple. First, guru second. First we're a servant, that's always. Then any other service, whether you're a temple president or a GBC, Sankirtan leader, spiritual master, whether you have to be guide other devotees in your service or whether you are simply doing your own personal service, you don't have responsibility for other people. In whatever case, we do everything in the attitude of service. For those who have to take leadership positions, they always have to check their consciousness that they're in the proper devotional attitude as a servant. As a servant, we may also have to control. This is one of the services. But that service of controlling is always dangerous because this is a demigod. They control, but sometimes they get so much into their controlling mood that they forget or they think they're independent. Even like Lord Brahma, he stole Krishna's cows and calves, feeling a little bit independent, or like Indra, who started to rain, send so much rain because Krishna didn't worship, have his parents worship Indra, instead they worship Govardhan. But later they were taught by Krishna that actually they were subordinate, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Then they realize their offense and they beg for forgiveness. You see, generally the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees, those who don't have the desire of material opulence or independence, they're protected from this kind of attitude. Even though they may be in a controlling position in some cases, they remain in an attitude of being a servant of the servant. But it's a danger that we can lose that attitude. Therefore, we have to remind ourselves. So Prabhupada is very merciful because in the Krishna conscious movement, when he left the planet, he gave us a system that was handed down from Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Vinod Thakur of a governing body so that he didn't want that there should be one appointed the acharya over the whole movement. He said that cream will rise to the top. If someone is a good preacher or if they're very sincere, then naturally that will just become self-manifest. There's no need for administratively appointing someone in some kind of an exclusive position as overall the entire movement. People will be recognized according to their own devotional service, not according to some kind of administrative decision or people will be given different services, and it's up to them how they surrender to Krishna and expand in those services. The mercy of Krishna. So in this way, it allows, however, everyone to always be in the attitude of a servant, directly. Of course, in any case, we should always be in the attitude of a servant. But normally, we've seen in the history that when the spiritual master leaves and then the other spiritual master, this disciple becomes a spiritual master, then they always have to, there's no physical check on their being in a proper attitude. It's just their own responsibility to be in the service attitude. But here in the case of having a governing body, the spiritual master, or GBC, or whoever there are, they always see that since Prabhupada said the GBC is my representative, it's supposed to represent Srila Prabhupada, whatever he had taught us, that to represent that. Therefore, we can always remain in a serving attitude to Prabhupada and through his representative. That was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who in his Namhata movement had also established a type of governing body, called it a panchayat. And he said that there were about 11 people he put on it. And he said they'll meet, when they meet in camera, in private, discuss some whatever topic of importance to the Vaishnava community. What they decide will be accepted as the will of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda being the founding father of the Namahata. So he established it like that. That was a little bit further expounded upon by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who established the same system, and in his final instructions to his disciples, he said, you simply work together under a governing body. You see. Of course, Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, in several places, and specifically we're discussing how the sons of Advaita Acharya divided and went two directions by the will of Providence. He mentions there how after some time after Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, some of the members of the Gaudiya Mutt, they thought that, well, this system of governing body is not good. It's not so good. Better we have one acharya. Like when Bhakti Siddhanta was here, it was really fired up. It was really great to have just only one guru. And he'll be the absolute authority. Then everyone will work under him and they'll be all fired up and they'll expand everything really quickly. We don't need this governing body idea. So then they established one acharya. So that acharya, after some years, he fell down. Because he wasn't following the principle of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. And as a result, their whole Gaudiya mission is kind of fragmented. Now there's like more than a dozen Gaudiya mutts in India. The Prabhupada, he was a grihastha at that time. He never wanted, and he was doing his devotional service from his house and helping printing books and things. Same time he was managing his business. So all these things were happening. He wasn't a member of the governing body or one of the leading sannyasis or anything at the time. He was, well, we would consider it today something like an initiated folk member. But in India it's a little more intimate. I mean, he had much association with Prabhupada. Our folk program isn't developed here. He was a grihastha living outside who got blessed by Bhakti Siddhanta, who has got some personal instructions from Bhakti Siddhanta, and who was very sincerely doing his devotional service. So later when he felt it opportune to take vanaprastha and then after some years, a few years, sannyas. At that time, already the Gaudiya mission had been divided into a dozen fragments. Now maybe it's a couple dozen. That time there was already like a dozen. They divided the original temples into two parts, and then that discussed the number of sannyasis who went off and made their own temples. So then Prabhupada was trying to find where he could fit in to the organization. So he appreciated the preaching attitude of Keshav Maharaj, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav, who was actually a lord before the British time. And he took sannyas. His preaching is very dynamic preacher, so he took sannyas from him. And he was, even as a Brahmaprast, he was editing their paper. But the system in the Gaudiya Mats was that there would only be one guru in each of the Gaudiya Mats. The Bhaktisiddhanta never said like that. This was again kind of the concept that once they didn't follow the governing body system, then they established one acharya. But then all the temples, all the different fragmentations only had each one initiating guru. They didn't have this, they had a system like that. So when Prabhupada started preaching and he was very educated and very good preacher, people became attracted. Then gradually, people were approaching him for initiation. So then he asked what he should do. So they said he should leave. Go somewhere. It wasn't his fault, he was just preaching. So he went somewhere else, and then this is always happening every place he went, that people wanted to take him as a spiritual master and there wasn't any place for him. So he never left his, you know, left the mission of the Gaudiya Math. Some people think that Prabhupada left. This is a totally erroneous concept. He simply wanted to cooperate with this guy, but it's right in the Leelamrita also, Gurupada has given quite a few of the details as well. He wanted to work with his god brothers, but they kept asking him, you know what, why don't you open your own fragmentation? So he had no choice but to set up a separate. Then he thought, what's the use of making another? He made one for a while, but then he settled down in Vrindavan and was just concentrating on translating the books. And then preaching from there, distributing his books, and eventually, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta order for him to preach in the Western countries inspired him to make a try to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement all over the world, which was the original desire of Lord Chaitanya and Bhaktisiddhanta. When he saw that no one else was doing it, before he was humbly thinking, well, there's so many other senior sannyasis and devotees, they'll do it. But one by one, they kind of basically either fell down or they just kind of hibernated in their little ashrams and then didn't expand it any further or whatever. I mean, I have no right to pass any value judgments on my previous acharyas, but basically what Prabhupada has explained, he was saying that they were not interested in preaching all over the world, so he had to take it up because, of course, that was also instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta had personally given him. So there was no excuse not to try to implement it, because it was the order of Guru, which is more dear than life. So of course, because Prabhupada took that instruction of the disciplic succession seriously, then the mercy came to him. And he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to expand the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. And by practically surrendering to the desire of the previous acharyas, he could realize Krishna's desire, Lord Chaitanya's desire, the previous acharya's desire. And he's expressed these realizations as his personal ecstasies in the purports of his books, which we should read and study very carefully to get his realizations deeply embedded into our consciousness. These are the basis for our whole movement. Books are the basis, especially these books by Srila Prabhupada. Other books are secondary to these. They're auxiliary, expounding on these basic teachings. So, after Prabhupada was successful and independently established all over the world, one might think, well, Srila Prabhupada, he doesn't have to do anything. But I mentioned this sometimes before. The Prabhupada's mood was so much of cooperating and fulfilling the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta, and he had no false ego, that when he sent me to India in 1970, he sent a letter to me at that time, Achyutananda was there to find a place for a foothold in India. And then he sent a telegram that he wanted to bring devotees to Mayapur. But then the reply came that, well, there's no room in Mayapur. You can't stay in the guest house. There's no room. There's nobody coming in their guest house. They just didn't want the Prabhupada to bring all the devotees and get attention and whatever the desire. They didn't want them to come to their temple. So then Prabhupada said, we have to have our own land then. They won't give us a place. They won't help. They won't even let us be visitors. We'll pay rent for the realm. We'll stay free. We'll pay rent, whatever it is, in their empty guest house. They wouldn't cooperate. So then Prabhupada said, we'll get our own land and we'll establish a temple there. So then we got our land. And just like we did here with the Ananta Stage installation, there was an Ananta Stage installation there. And Prabhupada invited all of his godbrothers, and even some godbrothers had passed away, and there were disciples of godbrothers had become the acharyas at that time of a particular branch or fragmentation of the Gaudiya Math. He invited them. And there's a famous picture. It's like 10 feet by 60. Prabhupada had it painted in Mayapur. We still have it somewhere. Also in Los Angeles, they have it. Which is like a kind of a testimony. At that time, Prabhupada said, now I have so many... reunite and serve Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that his former governing body, let us work all together. Give up all this independent ideas. Why waste time fighting in the court? Why do all this nonsense? Let us work together now. I have devotees from all over the world. I'll give you each devotees in your temples. I'll give you buses. I'll finish building your temples. I got money. You can preach. Let's all work together. You can remain in your acharyas, gurus, everything. Let us work now cooperatively. I was sitting there. They all had their head hung down. They didn't want to do it. They wanted to remain separate, have their little separate thing, where they're the absolute. Nobody else, it's like they're the little chief of their little pond, whatever, big fish in the small pond. Didn't want to surrender. Prabhupada just got disgusted. They all one by one went off. Someone said that Prabhupada left the Gaudiya. Prabhupada, his only desire was to reunite the Gaudiya Math. The Gaudiya Math left him. He never left Prabhupada Siddhanta, neither did he leave the Gaudiya Math or his spiritual matters, because the Gaudiya Math had lost his vision of working together and following Prabhupada Siddhanta's order. Therefore, Prabhupada was duty-bound to re-establish that order. So therefore, he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which embodied the essence, the order of Bhakti Siddhanta and the previous acharyas. And then he gave us the mandate. Now, you don't make the same mistake. You work cooperatively together. And even in 1977, November 7th, he left this world November 14th, one of the last things he did was establish a Bhakti Vedanta Swami Charity Trust with the purpose that in the future, try to reunite the other members of the family of bhaktis of the Saraswat Sampradaya and the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the whole family of Lord Chaitanya. By preserving the holy places and doing programs to gradually bring them together. So right, even to the last moment, Prabhupada was thinking about how to bring, again, all of Lord Chaitanya's devotees into a united front. But if someone doesn't want to work unitedly, then, well, Prabhupada, he didn't really appreciate that too much. But he didn't waste too much time meditating on it. I mean, he did when he was in Mayapur, but otherwise his main thing was that, well, if they're not going to work together, at least we have to carry on. We can't stop our preaching. We're not going to stop our preaching for infighting and all these kind of things. We're wanting to expand the movement of Lord Chaitanya, serve the previous acharyas. He remained in that preaching mood. 36 until 46, something like 76. So 30, 40 years. He said, why don't you join that court case? You have money now. You can help us. So we'll fight the high court. He says, I'm not going to fight in the high court over bricks and over buildings. He said, I'll fight in the field here, preaching to the fallen souls by preaching, by spreading the Sankirtan movement. That is how we said, they're attached to the bricks, they can sit in their empty buildings. What is the use of the buildings if they're not used for preaching? We only need buildings for preaching, otherwise we can live in a grass hut and chant our Hare Krishna japa every day and eat a little khichdi. We don't need to have a big building. We have buildings, we build temples to attract people, to give them shelter, to give them Krishna consciousness. We're preaching. I'm not going to fight in the court and waste good money after bad over a bunch of buildings. We build so many buildings here. And then Prabhupada has commenced building so many buildings in Mayapur. Through preaching, not through fighting court cases. And he predicted that in the future all these Gaudiya Math still all one by one come back to ISKCON. We have to establish ISKCON very firmly in this attitude of serving the servant of the servant. We are dedicated to serving His Divine Grace through the A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. He's our link to the entire disciplic succession. Somebody ever gets the idea that they know more than Prabhupada, immediately they become asara. They become unrecognized or disconnected from Lord Chaitanya's tree. So rather we should study these books and be thoroughly Hare Krishna Ramchandra. We should be thoroughly conversant, realized in Prabhupada's teachings, and then we can apply this to so many situations that come up in the future. There's jnana, vijnana. We need the knowledge and then apply now. How to apply this knowledge, that may vary according to different times and places. What type of sankirtan, or what type of project, some rural, urban, so on. But the base teachings, these are our basics. These are our basis. And this is our system. So, Prabhupada, okay, he said these books are to be studied for the next 10,000 years. So it's not that in the future, there may be so many spiritual masters and they may also write or have different books, but Prabhupada's books are the basis for the next 10,000, you know, for forever. For this Krishna conscious movement. Other books are auxiliary books, which we may have some value in different aspects, but these are the basis. This is what we understand. On the basis of these realizations, we expand further. We remain loyal to our disciplic succession. Just as Lord Chaitanya said, the wife is loyal to her Swami. In Sanskrit, Swami has two meanings. Swami means master of the senses, or like a sannyasi. And in common usage, Swami also means husband. Some words have dual meanings. So when Lord Chaitanya said we have to be faithful, a wife is faithful to the Swami, or that means a wife is faithful to the husband. But wife also is kind of in an allegorical sense, meaning the disciple is faithful to his Swami or to his guru. so we remain faithful to our disciplic succession. Those people who, because they think, well, the spiritual master is now physically not here, we don't have to follow his, he's not here, now we need another guru, we have to go and take a reinitiation from some other godbrother or Prabhupada or something like that. These people are people who are, again, very pretentious and have very little faith. Prabhupada has given us so many teachings here in his books. If we apply these teachings and follow his instructions, we see that people are advancing, people are making advancement in Krishna consciousness all over. Seen in some of the places, like in Colombia and Central America, there's some newer spiritual masters that are preaching there. They're teaching their disciples the teachings of Lord Srila Prabhupada from his books, and the disciples seem very enthusiastic and very bright-faced. So this is anyone who represents Prabhupada's message and can present it purely to other conditioned souls. Those conditioned souls are going to be connected with the disciplic succession. They're going to get the energy. And anyone who doesn't connect with the disciplic succession, what is the value? There's going to be a temporary manifestation. It's not going to last. So therefore, we have to be very fixed in this concept of serving the servant of the servant. O Lord, O Vaishnava, consider me your dog. One must become the dog of a Vaishnava pure devotee. For a pure devotee can deliver Kalti. Krishna se tuma Krishna dite paro. Krishna is the property of his devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one time Krishna Chaitanya tested Srivas. And he said that's a famous example probably. He said, what is your Lord Nityananda doing? Shiva said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, he's doing so many things. Sometimes he's seen going in strange places and doing strange things. Shiva said, I don't know, whatever, even if Lord Nityananda goes in a tavern, I'll only consider him to be my Lord or something. He made a statement like that. And he said, I have complete faith in Lord Nityananda. So then Lord Chaitanya couldn't trick him into losing his faith in Lord Nityananda. So then he said, actually, you purchased, of course, that was just testing, but Lord Chaitanya did some heavy things on that. Then he said that, yes, because of your, there are many other stories that happened. Many things that how Srivas had established his complete faith in Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. It's like his son died in the kirtan, and the wife was crying in the back, everyone was crying. Lord Chaitanya was doing kirtan with the associates outside. Srivas went back and said, what are you all crying for? You're disturbing the kirtan.
Your son is dead.
You're just crying that you're disturbing Lord Chaitanya? Just because my son is dead? You stop crying immediately. I'm going to commit suicide myself, jumping there, and you'll have to cry not only for your son, but for your husband. Maybe, you know, became silent. He went out in the kirtan. At the end of the kirtan, the Lord Chaitanya said, well, what happened in the house? There was some noise. Well, Shiva said, you know, it's my son died. What? Your son died? Why didn't you tell me? No, I didn't want to disturb your son kirtan. You were chanting outside. What? Srivas, what kind of a devotee are you? Just for your son dies and you're not even affected? You're just only worried about disturbing the kirtan? You start glorifying Srivas. This is too much though. Bring your son. Bring him out. So he brought the son out. Run him out, the cadaver, the cold stone body. Then Lord Chaitanya said, get up! Stand up! Speak! Suddenly the son came alive, stood up. Why have you left Srivas? He's a good devotee, why have you left his house? And the son started to speak. My Lord, why do you ask me that question? When we are called by you, by the Supreme Lord, we go. We come into this body for some time. We have our mother, we have our father, we have our parents. We're here for some time, but when it's our time to go, we have to go. So you know I was called, it's my time to go for another birth, for some other place. Hiroshi's mother was amazed. Your son speaking from the platform of the alma, of the soul, of the atma. And all her attachment, my son is dead, and she started, you know, to fade away. She could immediately become very wise in Krishna consciousness. So then, there's a long discussion, there was quite a lengthy discussion. Srivastava gave many points on this, reminding us of the story of Chitraketu, when the dead baby stood and spoke. This way, Srivastava's son was speaking, and then he requested that, well, he could only remain as a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, whatever birth he takes, but that he wasn't independent. He had to go when it was his time to go. So then Lord Chaitanya said, all right. Then he went, laid down. He's dead. He's a good devotee. He's a young man, 12 or 14 or that. Maybe 16, I think. So Lord Chaitanya took Srivastava's son and Srivastava and everyone. They went and they did the final rites at the side of the Ganges and took her back. Lord Chaitanya is glorifying Srivastava. Where is there a devotee that's so selfless that even his own family member dies and he's still preoccupied with serving the Lord? He said, this Srivastava is beyond comparison. Oh, Lord Chaitanya overtly chastised him that you could have. But then Lord Chaitanya told Srivastava that, actually, Srivastava, you have purchased me with your devotion. You have purchased me. Now I belong to you. You can sell me in the market, you can chop me up and keep me, whatever you want, I belong to you. I'm yours. So the devotee completely gives himself to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates. He gives himself to the devotee. We sing the Damodar prayer. Why Krishna is allowing himself to be tied by Mother Yasoda? Nobody can tie Krishna. He's a Sarat. He's completely independent. But he allows himself to be tied by the pure love of his devotee. So, Narada Muni explained to Yudhisthira Maharaj in the Bhagavatam that you are so fortunate because Krishna is tied to you through a bond of love. He acts as your messenger, he's your master, he's your friend, he's your messenger, he's your brother's chariot driver. He's for you everything. You're the most fortunate person in the whole world because you have love for Krishna. See, Krishna gives liberation very easily. Because when he gives liberation, there's no obligation. You're liberated. Now just spin there in the Brahma Jyoti. But he hides the pure devotion. He offers everything else. Would you like mystic power, take liberation, the kingdom, anything? But if he gives pure devotion, then he's bound to that devotee. So Krishna, in that sense, he gives everything very liberally, but he's a little bit reserved about giving pure devotion. But that's the special thing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he gives this love for Krishna out freely. By chanting this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Maha Mantra, serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his disciplic succession, the spiritual masters, one can develop this attitude of pure devotion very easily. Which is very difficult. Even Krishna himself didn't give it so easily. One had to completely surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityaja mamayakam saranam bhajahantam sarva papeva mokshishami vasucha. If they completely surrendered, then they could develop love for Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya first gives us the mercy of Krishna consciousness gets a taste of ecstasy and chanting, so then it's very easy to develop love for Krishna. Prabhupada explained it like when we give the children the dessert first. Lord Chaitanya is giving us the sweet first, the dessert first. Then after we get a little taste for Krishna consciousness, then we get the rest of the meal. Lord Chaitanya is so kind because we need this mercy in the age of Kali. We're very fallen. Durachari's, Mayavadis, Sunyavadis, misbehaved, impersonalists, voidists. So we need this mercy. But even though we may need it, it's not always available. Later on in the Kali Yuga, it won't be available. It's available now. So we should take it now, even though we need it. We need it and we should take it because now it's available. Shouldn't waste any time. We should just completely take the message of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and absorb as much of it and take as much of it as we can. Maya is very strong. Maya can mislead devotees in various ways. Even a person may have done so much devotional service, if they're a little careless, Maya can trick them in many ways. So therefore, so long as we have our spiritual sanity, we should try to accumulate as many spiritual sukritis or devotional credits as we can. I was reading in the Newsweek about this raider of corporations. This seems to be one of the biggest materialists going in the planet. I just saw it. Thought I'd see what his attitude was. So his attitude, see what we have to face with in our preaching. But his attitude is saying, well, the game is to make money. Make those points. So this is how I make money. I take over big corporations and money, that's what counts. If they're not, he gives his whole idea, philosophy around. Well, in Krishna consciousness, we have a different point system. We try to accumulate as many spiritual services, to do as much service as we can. That's our point. Every conditioned soul we can bring to Krishna, every book we can distribute, every offering we can give to Krishna, every plant we can grow and offer to Krishna, whatever we're trying to, every child we can make Krishna conscious. These are all points. Every breath we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And don't speak prajalpa. Every sentence we speak that we bring around to something which is Krishna conscious and not just bellows of air pumping out. These are all points, and how many points we can accumulate. In a tight schedule, somehow or another, every about 10th flight, the phone calls get all messed up and I get stuck somewhere and there's nobody at the airport. So this happened in Canada this 1 month ago, that I was waiting in the airport for a ride to come out to get me. Somehow it's hard to keep up with all the phone calls. Sometimes you get mixed up, confused. So I was waiting there in the airport with my luggage. It's cold, a little cold outside, so I was inside. So there in the airport, they have these, video games. You see all the kids with the piles of quarters. And there are all kind of video games. I don't know exactly what little things that eat each other. There's some cars that smash up. And then at the end, you see them pushing and buttons and things are moving around and they're getting points. So many points come up. Then at the end, it gives what number they are. Whether they're 64th or the 85th or 12th. They're trying to get more and more points. They're pumping quarters and they're trying to get more points. Of course, for what? I mean, points of what? Just, to have their name or their point on the, in the memory of the video game. Like this in the material world, people try to rack up points in so many ways, whether it's money or whether it's video games or whether it's toys, the big multimillionaires, they have magazines, and they pride themselves how much toys they can accumulate. Just waste their money. Automatic wardrobes that are all mechanized and things move and all kind of just crazy toys, videos in their bedrooms, and there's anything they can think of because they don't have the money, they don't know what to do with it. So they think, well, this may accumulate how many toys. Some big materialist in the 20th century now, this decade, has said success in life is who's that gets the most points, who has more toys. So there's just like grown-up children. They have little good karma. They got some money. They're just using it, expending all their punya. When it's finished, then they just go to hell. So the people there, they don't know. They're trying to figure out what is the real point in life. What is the score? To be a president of the United States or to be a multimillionaire? They're all working under the, or just to get points in the video game or what is, you know, they're all trying to get points. Then the real point, who can be the greatest servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna? Those are the points that count. Because those points, they never go. They're sukri, they stay eternally. Even if we don't finish in this life, next life we can, again we'll have that credit to us. But these people, they're simply using up their punya. And then after it's over, then again they're back to nothing. Just like Vishvamitra when he was fighting with Vishishta Muni, he'd use up all of his punya in different ways. And again, he'd have to go and do tapasya, build up his points of tapasya. Of course, at least he was a great sage and eventually built up his mystical points until he came to the level where he could appreciate Brahman and the devotees in a more profound way. After he went through so many levels, first he was a kshatriya, he became a brahmana, he became a rishi, he became a maharishi, he was blessed by Lord Brahma to become a Brahma rishi. I told this whole story one time. It's a pretty long story for now. And finally he came up to Vishishta Muni, who was the Brahma rishi. And he said, so now I'm a Brahma rishi. Now I made it. So then Vishishta said, yes, but don't think that Brahma Rishi is the greatest. What do you mean? All night I've been trying, I finally managed to become a Brahma Rishi. I can go to a Brahma Loka, I can go anywhere. I have this mystic powers, everything. No, Brahma Rishi is not the greatest. Who's greater? We are Brahma Rishi, we are the power in this universe, but the pure devotees of Krishna, they have all the power of Krishna at their disposal. Even Krishna, he's bound to them. They're much greater than we are. So never cross the pure devotee of Krishna. Ambarish was pure devotee of Krishna, he was Grihastha, but Durasa, who was a Brahmaputra, he was a mental son of Brahma, which is comparable from our Rishi, our mental son. These are all very elevated, pretty hard to, I don't know how they all compare it, but they're very, very elevated. They're practically, they have more power than many of the demigods, and they're of the other administrative demigods, and they're almost as much power as, in many ways, have a fraction of the power of Lord Brahma. But of course, when he offended the Vaishnava, he was not spared. So you have to be very careful not to offend Vaishnavas, to respect Vaishnavas, and to try to accumulate as many devotional credits as we can in the time we have. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, what insanity will befall us, how Maya might trick us. So we should just have our, as we say here in the south, let me put your elbow to the grindstone or something, just completely remain. Never take it for granted, Krishna consciousness. Always remain fixed and are just trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. Just like that story about the race between the hare and the tortoise. Right? The hare got ahead, but then he started to, as we would say in our Sankirtans, slang, space out, started to dilly-dally around, become a little bit neglectful, and then the tortoise came ahead. It's a simple folklore tale. But the idea is that until we finish, until we become completely Krishna kind, until we get Krishna prema, until we realize our sarupa, who we are in Krishna's eternal pastimes, until we're completely fit, we don't lighten up our enthusiasm to just simply follow Guru and Krishna. We don't let our consciousness go anywhere else. If we do, Maya has more inroads. She can get us. So we keep always in this attitude. And someone might, just as in conclusion, like one day I walked in the, I came into Prabhupada's room and bowed down in Mayapur. I had the opportunity of associating with Prabhupada a couple times every year for a few months every time, and he called me or something. I came to his room and all of a sudden, to just almost shout, but it was very forcefully say that how he wasn't depending on anything else, his devotional service, his chanting, his reading, his writing, his whatever. He was simply depending on the mercy of his spiritual master. He was doing everything for the pleasing his guru, pleasing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we're all, of course, dedicated to pleasing Srila Prabhupada to the disciplic succession and ultimately for the pleasure of the previous acharyas and Lord Chaitanya. I just probably illustrated there that in spite of having millions and millions of dollars and hundreds of temples and thousands of disciples being respected at that time all over the world, he wasn't depending on that. He was simply depending on the mercy of his spiritual master, mercy of the previous acharya. In other words, Prabhupada was always in the attitude of a servant. That is guru. Guru means to be the servant of a servant of a servant. Guru is one means every real guru should be in that service attitude. Guru is one doesn't mean the guru is God. The guru thinks he's God, he's independent. That is my advice. Guru is one means that every guru will have the same service attitude. A real guru will have as the Prabhupada was always in the complete dedicated mood of serving the previous acharyas. And we have to imbibe that. Of course, for Prabhupada disciples, we have that direct experience. For the other the grand disciples, they have to learn these things from their spiritual masters and from other, take association from the Vaishnavas. Read Srila Prabhupada's books, serve Srila Prabhupada through the disciplic succession. But our special link is to, of course, Srila Prabhupada. Because he reestablished what had been lost. Actually speaking, the Sampradaya had been lost in the sense of not that maybe the teachings were there, Bhaktisiddhanta teaching, but the practical implementation had been disturbed. So Prabhupada created this house to again form the basis for reuniting the whole movement of Lord Chaitanya. So we can reunite. I have no doubt. Already Gaudiya Mutts are coming to me in Mayapur and saying, we want to join this family. We want to become part. Just before I came here, one Gaudiya Mutt came and said that we want you to be the, on behalf of Prabhupada, because we have faith in Prabhupada. We see that his vision was, we are the disciples of a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta, and we see that Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's vision was actually the proper vision. And so we want you as a local representative to be the head of our temple. We want to work. Eventually we hope to be part of ISKCON, but immediately if we could just integrate in this way, first you be the official head and you train us, and then eventually we can, because right now we do things a little differently, but in the future we can become part of ISKCON. So like people are coming, I don't know, it's a touchy thing, I don't know exactly, I didn't I said, we have to discuss it with my God brothers and see how to work it, but that already the desire is there. People in the future, they'll, if they see that ISKCON is following this system of Bhakti Siddhanta, then even the other fragment in the future, they'll also want to join because we're successful, because we're following Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's following the previous acharyas. We can hope for that also, but right now we have to be very dedicated ourselves, not allow ourselves to be strayed away from Srila Prabhupada's authorized teachings, either individually or any other way. So these verses and these purports are very important. As Prabhupada said, these purports were his personal ecstasy. And if we see how Prahlad, he was so blessed, he could see God face to face, because he was in this mood of a servant of a servant. When Krishna, Lord Krishna as Nrisimhadeva, offered him everything, he said that I simply want to continue serving my spiritual master. Why? Because of the mercy of the Guru, I'm only able to see you. If it wasn't for the mercy of my Guru, how am I seeing God face to face? So then even though he was seeing God, he didn't think, now I'm going to stop serving my Guru. All right, now I've achieved what I wanted. I've seen God, and I don't need Guru. No, even when we're liberated, because of the mercy of Guru, I'm seeing Krishna. Now I want to continue serving this. We worked so good so far, why should I stop? Right? We be practical. Americans are practical, right? So this is a practical method. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Garaha Siva Sri Gaura Bhakta.
Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, give up all other religion and simply surrender unto the void within me. Where does it say that? Where does it say Krishna said the void within me? But they just throw in something like that, and then that bewilders their follower. There's no void within Krishna. Krishna is the same within and without. Sakalindriya vrittimanti, satchira, Krishna vai satchirananda gana, Krishna di purusha, Krishna purushottamaha. Krishna's quality is satchirananda. It's a Vedic aphorism. But there's nowhere there's a satchirananda sunya. That there's satchirananda and there's another one inside there, there's nothingness. No, it's sat, chit, ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. Doesn't say anything about voidness. These three qualities are there. It's a Satchirana Gana. He has qualities. So, but they'll just throw in something like that and then you'll be taking, they'll say, yes, a living entity is like a piece of ice floating in the ocean. And eventually they melt and become one. They'll say a little thing, you know, you think, yes, it's a little piece of ice in the ocean. The ocean is Mohima. These are different Siddhis. Ashta Siddhi. So of course Lord Chaitanya just said, do you want Siddhi? Do you want this mystic power? So he said, no. I don't want mystic power. He says, what do you want? You take mystic power, you can have anything you want. He said, no, that's not what I want. Okay, what do you want? Do you want liberation from the repetition of birth and death? Freedom from reincarnation? He said, no. I don't want that. You don't want liberation? Then what is it that you want? He said, my dear Lord, my desire is that whenever you take your avatar, your incarnation, in this world, whether it's Krishna or Rama or Chaitanya or whatever form you come in, my desire is that I could offer you your banana and vegetable needs. If I could do some service, I don't want liberation. Or if I can serve you eternally, this is my desire. And if I'm not worthy to serve you, then at least if I can have the association with your devotees who are always filled with your transcendental loving devotion. So then Lord Chaitanya said, I am going to give you that benediction which even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are eager to get. But they don't get it easily. I'm going to give you my pure love, Krishna prema. When the devotees heard that, the simple banana salesman, a hawker in the street, he was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the ashirvad, the blessing of Krishna prema, pure love for Krishna. They started to shout, Harivo, Harivo, Harivo. They started to just rejoice. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is compassion. You see, this is a very esoteric. Most people, most in our Hindu tradition or Vedic tradition, we know that there's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. First there's religious practices, then there's dharma, then there's artha, economic development, make some money. Why? Kama, so you can get sense gratification and enjoy the senses, have a happy material life. And at the end of life, moksha, achieve liberation from birth and death. So these are considered the purush artha, or the purpose of life. So actually Krishna, He gives these benedictions very easy. If you want liberation or material benediction, Krishna gives His devotee very easy. In Vrindavan, one lady came up, offered Krishna some fruits. She looked back, her whole basket had become jewels. Krishna gives this type of material benediction very easy. Why? Even giving liberation, He gives very easy. What is the reason? The reason is that when Krishna gives those benedictions, there is no obligation on His part. Just like if a boss says you take $100 bonus, it's a one-time thing, finished. But if He says, I'm going to give you a raise, that means it's a perpetual thing. So when Krishna gives liberation or some material benediction or mystic power or something like that, then Krishna has got no further warranty, no kind of further obligation is there. But when Krishna gives pure devotion to His devotee, when He gives that love of Krishna, then Krishna says, I never let my devotee perish. I always protect my devotee. It's like Krishna adopting the devotee, just like the spider and the baby spider.
Translation.
Tapaso chang doya satyam iti pada krite kritaha adharmang sai trayo bhagna smaya sangha madaistava tapaso chang doya satyam iti pada krite kritaha adharmang sai trayo bhagna smaya sangha madaistava aistava 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 Vaishnava, 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 Vaishnava